Erev Shabbat Shalom, Parashat Emor Lakohanim. Of the many things that we can speak about in this week's parasha, we know that all of the Dine Kehuna, as the name of the parasha connotes, are in this week's parasha. And Baruch Hashem, we're zochet to have many friends and many Talmudim, Shem Kohanim. Yeah. Am Kedoshecha Ka'amun. The Kohanim are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's choicest, the holy nation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the parasha begins by saying the laws of regular Kohanim, and then the Torah goes to speak about Ve'akohen ha'gadol me'echa. This past week's Dapim spoke extensively about Kohanim Gedolim and how he gets elected, how he gets in there, the difference between Bayit Sheni. The Pasuk says Ve'akohen ha'gadol me'echa. The Kohen that is greater than his brother has different laws than the regular Kohen. And this is a midrash on this pasuk, and it's also a daf from yesterday's daf. Yoma daf yutchet amud aleph. Yutchet amud aleph. Yes. What does it mean? A kohen a gadol meichav, the kohen that's greater than his brothers. The Gemara says, "Shu gadol b'chamisha dvarim." He has to be greater than the average kohen in five areas. What were the areas? The chokhmah, the kowach, the osher, the chokhmah, right? Looks, yofi, yes, the shunae, all sorts of different aspects that the Kohen Gadol had to excel in all sorts of. Now, again, the obvious question is, chokhmah, we understand why the Kohen Gadol has to be chacham, has to be a Talmid chacham. All the other things, ashir, so that people respect him, so much so that the Gemara says that what happens if the Kohen Gadol is poor? Who pays for him? Kohanim. Kohanim Gedolim. Everybody donates to the Kohen Gadol to make him wealthy. Why? Because a wealthy person is more respected. He has more clout. But the thing that's a little bit, you know, we have to try to understand a little bit more is Koach. Yeah, we have to, how do we know? He has to be mighty, physically strong. And where do we learn that from? The Gemara says we learned it out of Aharon HaKohen, that he had to wave. It's not here in Parashat Be'alotecha. The Torah commanded, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Aharon HaKohen to wave 22,000 Levim all in one day. Okay? Now, make the Cheshbon. Well, we're gonna come back and see that soon. But that's how we know that Kohen Gadol has to be physically mighty. And the Gemara in Masechet Nedarim, Daf Lamed Aleph, says the same thing about a Navi, that he has to be wise and mighty and wealthy. And the Gemara says, where do we learn that out from? Moshe Rabbeinu. All of these things Moshe Rabbeinu had. Where do we find that Moshe Rabbeinu was mighty, physically mighty? Vaitpos bishne aluchot. Moshe Rabbeinu held solid sapphire, which the Gemara in the Yerushalmi says is two different girsaot. It was 6 by 6 by 3 tfachim. Huge, heavy blocks of stone, and Moshe Rabbeinu held it all by himself. From here, and the Rambam paskins it la halacha in Yilchot Yisodei Torah, Perek Zayin halacha Aleph, that a Navi has to have all these five attributes, including physical might. And all of the Mefarshim ask, on the Rambam and in other places as well, since when do we care about, you know, all the other attributes are here, but since when is physical might an attribute that the Torah pays attention to? Who cares about physical might? You know, does the Torah advocate, obviously you have to be healthy, you have to do exercise, whatever, but does the Torah advocate bodybuilding? You know, on the contrary, we always find the Chachamim, bodybuilding, who are the people who founded bodybuilding? Greeks. You ever see a Greek or Roman sculpture? Huh? What do they look like? You ever see an ounce of fat on them? There's nothing. Only what? Every muscle. Every sinew, right? They don't have a six pack. They have a 17 pack. Yeah. They have all these zachin. Why? Because they engaged in body worship. This is the body. You live in it. And then it's, you know, this is the only thing. So take care of it. We believe in taking care of the body as well, but only as a means, as a vehicle to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to allow the neshama to function as it should. So since when is the Torah into being physically mighty? Why is that a thing? Asks Gaon Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz in his Sichot Musa. And he explains that one of the, quotes the Mesilat Yesharim, one of the most detrimental midot that a person can have is midat ha'atzlut, laziness, lethargy, a lack of caring. And we find countless pesukim throughout Mishle that speak about the detrimental aspects, the detriment of the midah of atzlut, of laziness and lethargy. We find, what's the worst part of laziness? Does it mean a person doesn't know, a person doesn't see? He says, he brings a pasuk in Parashat Va'era, by Makat Barad, the Torah says, the only time we find a warning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, well, we find it twice really, by Dever and Barad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu warned them that what? Only those who keep their animals outside are going to be struck. Whoever brings it in is going to be saved. The Torah says, V'asher lo sam libo el devar Adonai, v'ya'azov et avadav et mikneu basadeh. Very interesting thing that we find this phrase, the only place in the Torah where the Torah, how do you say paying attention in Hebrew? Lasim lev. Literally, what does lasim lev mean? Place on heart. Place your heart or place on your heart. What does that even mean? The Torah says, Va'asher lo sam libo el devar Adonai. A person who doesn't place his heart on the word of God will leave his animals in the field and they'll get killed. Why did the Torah use such a language? Why didn't the Torah just say, and anyone who doesn't listen to the word of God, anyone who doesn't know the word of God, what does it mean to place their heart on the word of God? Rather, says Rav Chaim, something beautiful. He says, you know what laziness is? Laziness does not mean a lack of knowledge or a lack of realization. You think the Mitzrim didn't know or didn't realize the might of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at this point? They've gone through 7 Makot until now. They know exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is capable of, and they see exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does to them versus what he does to Am Yisrael. They know full well, they always come crying to Moshe Rabbeinu to take it away. They know exactly what Hashem is capable of. But that's not what atzlut means. That's not what laziness is. Laziness is not a lack of awareness. Laziness means, or the flip side, zrizut, is the polar opposite of laziness of atzlut. Zealousness, you know what that is? Taking that awareness, taking that knowledge, and putting it on your heart. Meaning, internalizing it, putting it into your, not only knowledge base, putting it on your emotions. The heart represents, right? The mind represents knowledge, intellect, and the heart represents what? Emotion. Sam libo, placing your heart, not only knowing and being aware, but doing something about. They don't care enough. They don't, right? There's like a short circuit between the heart and the mind. That is what is represented by midat ha'atzlut. And some lazy people will say, I can't do it. I'm not physically able to do it. You ever heard that? What do you want from me? I cannot do it. People say it all the time. And there's an Ramban al Torah that completely negates such a claim and says that it's Shekir Gamur. The Torah says in Parashat Vayakel, when Am Yisrael came to build the Mishkan, the Torah says, Vayavo'u kol ish asher nisa'o libo. All the builders came to build under the auspices of Moshe Rabbeinu and Bezalel and Aholiyav. But who are the builders? Who are the builders? Common folk. Regular people, they came to build, and they built the Mishkan. The Ramban, Al Torah, says, Alav Shalom, says these words. Shelo haya ba'em mi shelimed et ha-melacha, mi shelamad et ha-melachot halalo mi melamed. Usually, in order to be a craftsman, in order to be a professional, you have to apprentice somebody. You got to learn the trade. Where exactly would Am Yisrael in the Midbar be learning carpentry, jewelry, you know, all tapestries, all of the very delicate and professional trades that were necessary? Do you know one of the most, probably the most tedious job in the entire Torah was what? Binyat HaMishkan. All of its, you know, all of the laws and ramifications, and all of the different measurements, yeah, all of the dimensions. Says the Ramban, nobody learned it. There were no teachers and there were no apprentices. So how do they do it? Says, Aval matza b'tivo shiyada la'asot ken v'yikba libo b'derkei Adonai lavo lifnei Moshe lemor ani a'ese kol asher Adonai dover. Am Yisrael in the generation of the Midbar, as soon as Moshe Rabbeinu commanded b'shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu to build the Mishkan, the next day, common folk from Am Yisrael showed up to Moshe Rabbeinu and they said, what? We're here. We have no clue what we're doing, but we're here to do it. And says the Ramban, that will created a tiva, created a nature of them knowing exactly what to do. Look at what ratzon, look at what zealousness and zizut can create. They were as skilled as the biggest professionals, even though they didn't learn from anywhere, as a result of their will to fulfill the will of HaKadosh Baruch. Look at that. So I don't want or I don't know is not an example. Show them this Ramban. Sometimes you'll also find another excuse that lazy people, now you can have lazy people even amongst religious Jews, but some, you know, being a religious Jew requires, Shmirat Torah Mitzvot requires growth. A person has to grow every day, every month, every year. Yeah? There's a pasuk in Mishle, Ora Chayim Lema'al Al Maskil, Lema'an Sur Misheol Mata. You have to always constantly strive to grow. There are people who don't strive to grow. They are what we call, there's a word in English that's called stagnant. They love to be stagnant. You know what that is? They have their idea or their observance of Torah Mitzvot. And when you talk to them about, yeah, growth, come learn, come, you know, all of the different things that everybody needs to grow, they'll say, I'm happy with my lot. I'm good. It's what we call the chubam factor. Right, Joe? That's the... No, that's a different... No, the factor. I'm good. I'm happy with what I... Sameach b'chilko. What a foolish mistake. Sameach b'chilko chazal meant where? By physical, materialistic pursuits. Then you be sameach b'chilko. You say, be sameach b'chilko with your house and with your car, with your bank accounts and with your, you know, with your assets. They be sameach b'chilko. In Avodat Hashem, there's no such thing as being sameach b'chilko. On the contrary, what we find asur by the rest of the Torah, jealousy and stinginess, what do we find by Torah and mitzvot? Kinat sofrim tarbe chokhmah. By Torah and by mitzvot, there's an element of what? Jealousy. Be jealous of your friend's Torah knowledge and stature in Torah and mitzvot. Be jealous of that because Chachamim understood that when you're jealous about your friend's spiritual level, that will spur you forth to grow. And without growth, we're going down. It doesn't work like that. I say this mashal all the time. Shlomo HaMelech said it in Mishle, Ora Chaim Lema'al Al Maskil. This world, we are born onto a down escalator. You ever heard me say that mashal? Down escalator. Now, according to the laws of physics, you can do three things on the down escalator. What can you do? You can run upwards, walk upwards, or do nothing. And each one yields a different result. Listen carefully. If you run upwards on a downward escalator, what are you doing? You're going to be going up. If you walk at a normal pace, briskly, on a downward escalator, what are you doing in essence? You're staying in place. And then you can choose to do nothing. You can choose to do chubam on the downward escalator. Where does that get you? The men's department, right? That gets you to the, you know, in Macy's they have different departments. That'll get you to the next department on the lower floor. You know why? Because all it takes to go down is to do nothing. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Doing nothing, being okay, gets you down. It's an uphill battle. Even to just stay where you are, you have to fight the yitzhara every day valiantly. And certainly to grow, what do you have to do? You got to run. You got to fight with all your might. The Atzil, a lazy person, will always find all sorts of cheshbonot, all sorts of excuses why he can't do this right now, and even find them rooted in the Torah. And the Mesilat Yesharim says that's all. Sometimes when a person doesn't engage in Avodat Hashem, he has many, many, many cheshbonot. Why I shouldn't be here right now? Different cheshbonot. And he says you should know, don't think it's Lishon Shamayim. Many of the cheshbonot that we have, many of the calculations and the excuses that we have, why we don't engage more in Torah mitzvot, why we don't invest more in our Avodat Hashem, is not because it's Lishon Shamayim. It's just that excuses, because we're lazy. Rabotai, we asked at the beginning of the Shmuz, what's the physical strength of Aharon and Moshe have anything to do with Torah values? Says the Sichot Musar, has everything to do with Torah values. You know why? HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Aharon HaKohen, you need to wave 22,000 Levim on the same day. Now, waving, the Gemara says, how did Aharon wave them? Molich u'mevi ma'ale u'morim. Like you do with the Lulav Etrog, okay? Out, in, up, down. To 22,000 Levim who come in many, many different shapes and sizes. Rabotai, there are about 86,000 seconds in a day, in a 24-hour period. I think 86,400. You make the Hezbollah. 24 times 6 times 6. Yeah? What's the minimum amount of time it can take, I don't know, to wave each Levim? Even without taking any break, nothing. Let's say 4 seconds. That's 88,000 seconds for 22,000 of you. Without getting tired of that, it's an impossible feat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Aharon to do something impossible. That's, to our human perception, it seems impossible. And yet Aharon didn't flinch. Just the same way that Am Yisrael at the, by the Mishkan, they could have said, what are you talking about? If I tell you to build a Mishkan right now, you say, it's just physically impossible. Aharon HaKohen didn't flinch, and he said, I'll do it. And he did it. And it was Bederech Nes. But in order to succeed, even Bederech Nes, you have to do in a, yes, the person has to do his utmost, is Zezu. Atzlanut, the midah of laziness and lethargy, would have had Aharon HaKohen tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, you know me, you created me with human limitations. What are you even saying? Not a word. He did it and he succeeded, even though it's physically impossible. Yes, but it is. But that's exactly why physical might and stamina, to go and do it. Not that we're looking at the might itself. The might as a means to an end, to fulfill its own Hashem. And we have so many examples for this throughout the Torah, throughout Shas and Poskim, that people do unexplainable, physically impossible things in pursuit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. And they succeed. You know why? Because that's what's the most important Avodat Hashem. If a person starts off by saying, I can't, then it's over. Ve'akohen ha'gadol me'echav, you know what had to make the Kohen more special than anybody else? You know what makes him special? The fact that there's no I can't. Rather, all he says is that I will. It's a big, big limudra of time. Physical koach. That's what it has to do. That's what it has to do with the Torah. It pushes a person forward with all his might and says, I can do it. Even though it's physically impossible. Yeah, of course it's physically impossible. But Hashem said to do it. No ifs, ands, or buts. That's the way it works every time. Kadosh Baruch Hu should send Am Yisrael Nechama and Simcha, Refu'ah, V'chaim, Bri'ut Ketana Noam, Me'aliyah Be'ezrat Hashem. Tizkur Shem Rabot, Ne'imut V'tovot, Shabbat Shalom Borach. And thank you for tuning in today. Shabbat Shalom.